This is a production of Netcast Studio, online media for today's society. The new media broadcasting network dedicated to providing you content as it relates to your life. Whether it's technology, sports, educational, cultural, hobbies, or history, Netcast Studio has it all at netcaststudio.com.
Tech of Sports, episode 91. Jesse Harper, CEO of iOne Biometrics. Tonight on the Tech of Sports, Jesse Harper joins us. Netcast Studio mobile apps are a great way to get our content on your smart devices or tablets, and there's an app for both iOS and Android. The Tech of Sports is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network at techpodcast.com. If it's tech, it's here. And the Tech of Sports is a production of Netcast Studio at netcaststudio.com. We record here every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Show will... And also want to mention Bluehost Web Hosting. It's an affiliate here at the studio. And to get a great deal, you can use the link, netcaststudio.com/Bluehost Special. If you're looking for a host for a website or a show, they do a great job at Bluehost Web Hosting. And I would like to welcome Jesse here to the show tonight. We're going to talk about a pretty important subject in the world of sports and sports technology, and also in the world of keeping people healthy. And Jesse's the CEO of iOne Biometrics, a Kirkland, Washington-based sports tech company, and they work with the NCAA and high school teams to detect and report dangerous head impacts on the field of play. This is dealing with the concussion issue, which I've covered for years, and we've talked about here on the show before. He's a UConn grad. He's been involved in wearable technology for years, so great to have him on the show. And Jesse, thanks for taking time out and coming on tonight from Kirkland.
Thanks for having me, Rick. I appreciate it.
Tell us a little bit about maybe history and background on iOne Biometrics first before we get going.
Sure. So we spun out of a company about 2.5 years ago now, a company called Byte Tech that makes all the mouth guards for Under Armour. And they've been doing so for quite a long time, over 10 years. So we've got mouth guard in our DNA and we've got sport in our DNA. And we thought that the mouth guard was a good place to put sensors to detect impacts live on the field of play and send them over. So started the company as a spin out from that, moved from the East Coast out to Seattle, Washington. And we're getting very close right now to have the product on field. We will be launching just after the new year in time for the spring sports schedule. And we're just wrapping up our testing this year with LSU football.
I've reviewed and studied and have looked at mouth guards for football and actually for more than just football now. People just assume the concussion issue is just centered around football, but really lacrosse and field hockey and there's other sports now as well. Soccer, where they've been studying the concussion issue is just as much of a problem. Do you agree with that, Jesse?
Yeah, it surprises a lot of people that women's soccer is the number two highest incident rate of concussion, only behind men's football. And, you know, there's head to opponent, there's head to ground, there's head to ball. And, you know, there's a link that they're starting to see in research of neck strength and a lower neck strength to higher incident rate of concussion. And so there's some speculation that perhaps it's because the female athlete's neck is slightly weaker than her male counterpart. And so there's more rotation. So it's interesting. It's not just a collision sport thing. You know, we think of the ice hockey, the football, those types of things, but it extends to many more sports than that.
Yeah, it really does. You know, outside of maybe golf, every sport has got a potential for a concussion problem. And the way I play golf, Jesse, there is a concussion problem for people that are probably in the fairway ahead of me or on the next fairway. So we won't forget golf, leave golf out of the equation. So let's get a little serious here for a second, and then we'll lighten it up a little as we go on. And I know you guys have followed the news this past weekend of Costa Karagiorgi of Ohio State, the football player who had complained of concussions, had suffered concussions. He disappeared last week, was found dead near his apartment, and it's a tragic story and one that we don't want to have repeated. But it's you know, you hear these stories now in sports. The world of sports is not immune to stories like these. And is this something that's really struck a chord with you guys?
It is. You know, concussions are personal for me. You know, I coached football. I played football. I have an older son that plays in college. I have a younger son that plays youth. So it's a regular part of my life. And when I see a story like, you know, the one about Costa out of, you know, Ohio State, it's heartbreaking. It's a tragedy. You know, it's certainly the worst thing that, you know, a family can endure and a team can endure. And it's really sad. Now, you know, I don't want to Monday morning quarterback it and say that this was certainly linked to concussion, but there's a lot of things that point in that direction, you know, with statements he made to his family before taking his life, and you know, some of his history with injury. So it's just a terrible thing, and we need to do a better job, you know, in the world of sports and being vigilant and, you know, looking for injuries and you know, limiting athlete exposure to these things wherever appropriate.
Yeah, definitely. And we may not know for months or years, you know, what they'll find out about this. And when it comes to the concussion issue, we're always discovering new things, and they're always making new inferences and you know, trying to get a handle on this problem. Do you think at any level in football, Jesse, we have a handle on the concussion issue at this point, or is this something that's going to be like an ongoing, changing, real turbulent situation?
I don't think we have our arms around it yet, but I think we're moving in the right direction. And, you know, public opinion and public awareness of this is at an all-time high, and that certainly drives policy. It drives changes. It applies pressure. And so you're seeing greater coaching tools become available for these coaches. So you're seeing USA Football with their Heads Up program and what they're trying to implement at the youth level. You're seeing at the NFL or professional level, they have spotters, so athletic trainers up in the press box watching the field for injuries. You have technology such as our mouth guard and others that are starting to be deployed at the student level, so college and below. So we're moving in the right direction, but it's still early. We don't even know enough about what causes a concussion. An impact that I may take may lead to a concussion. You may take that same impact and it's not a concussion. It's very personal. If we haven't slept well the night before, we're dehydrated, things like that all play into it. So it's an early time in this, but we know that we need to get better at it. With athletes getting bigger, faster, and stronger every year, that's going to become a bigger problem.
Yeah, and that's across the board in all sports. So that's definitely a problem. And, you know, every week still, and I agree with you, Jesse, we don't have a handle. Each week at some level of football, there's a story that leaks out. If you check Google News and if you're in tune with people around the country like I am, at some level, there's a kid that gets back onto the field after sustaining a concussion or begs his way back onto the field of play. So we really, we don't have a handle in a quantitative form and saying we're looking at a unit of measure of some type and you're not going back on the field. It's, you know, it's still somewhat subjective, isn't it?
It is. It's getting there. I mean, we know, you know, the G forces that have a higher incident rate of concussion and can lead to it, but it's not definitive. It's not a line in the sand. As I said, it's personal, but you know, we're able, you know, with our technology here, we can measure the G forces that the brain experiences on the field of play and send that in real time to the sideline. Not only how hard you got hit, but where you got hit. And that's important for the athletic trainers to take a look and say, you know, let's take a look at Johnny. He just took a big hit. You know, make sure that, you know, we can do a quick sideline assessment, see that he's not been compromised, and put him back in the field of play. And it's really about inserting that medical opinion as close to the time of injury as possible. So being able to identify those impacts that may lead to injury, such as, you know, the story that came out of Michigan earlier this year with Shane Morris. They missed it. Not due to any negligence on their part or not being good coaches and medical staff, but they were watching the ball. They didn't realize that he took a head hit, and they put him back in the field of play, and then 2 days later came out and announced that he had a concussion.
I was watching that game on TV, Jesse. If you couldn't tell that guy was taking a beating, you must have really been looking at the scoreboard or watching the cheerleaders, because that was that was brutal.
Yeah, he took it on the chin for sure. And, you know, the challenge is I watched the game too. And, you know, when he threw the ball, the camera tracked the ball. And I think that's what a lot of people's eyes do. They track the ball. Now, sitting in the comfort of our living rooms, we had the value of instant replay. So they go back, they show it, they zoom in from another camera angle, and you see the hit. In real time, the sideline staff missed it. And that's really why you need something to alert them and say something happened, because it's moving so fast. It's just, if you've ever been on the sidelines of a game, it's organized chaos down there. You know, there's a lot of things going on.
Yeah, and that's what you guys are in the business of doing, not a concussion-proof device, but a concussion detection system, where hopefully it, and you can maybe give a quick overview on what your product does, and then also what you guys, how you guys partnered with LSU and how that went this fall.
Yeah, so, you know, at its most simple level, it's a mouth guard that the player wears. It detects when it's in mouth, so the player puts it in their mouth, goes out and plays. It automatically turns it on. When they pop it out of their mouth, it automatically shuts it off. There's no buttons. There's no blinky lights. The player doesn't have to do anything but play. While they're playing, it monitors every impact that they take to the head. It does a 3D render of their head in real time, sends that to the sideline. The athletic staff can either look at a computer screen and see that 3D model of every player's head and where they're taking hits, or they can set thresholds. You know, I want to see anything above this level. And then they can get an alert on their smartphone in their pocket and then know to pull that player and take a look at them. So it's designed as a flagging tool during game time. It's also designed as a coaching tool during practice. So because we can do this 3D render of the head and show where the player took the hit, over time we can look at a heat map of that player's head. We can show those players who have improper technique. Maybe they're dropping their head to open the, you know, open the door as they run through the line, those types of things. So how do we, you know, coach those kids during the week, identify those behaviors and get them to avoid a, you know, an injury on, you know, Friday or Saturday and potentially a flag for the team for a penalty of spearing.
Can you also look at a time lapse where maybe the head looked like this on Thursday and now on Saturday, it looks different? Would that throw the red flag up then?
So we're not doing an actual EEG or anything where we're measuring brain waves. It's not okay. What we're doing. So okay. What we just do is we overlay the actual impacts. It's not, think of it this way, it's not measuring a degradation itself of neural function. That's really what the medical staff is to do. So it doesn't replace them. It just gives them another, you know, arrow in their quiver and trying to keep the player safe.
So you're measuring the single impact that the player takes.
Correct. And, okay. You know, the numbers for that, I don't know if you're familiar with the numbers around impacts themselves, but it's pretty surprising. If you're familiar with airplanes or anything like that, you know, we think in terms of 1G, 2G, 3G, and it starts to get meaningful. It starts to get significant. At an impact level, because these things happen in the millisecond time range versus a prolonged time like you get in a plane, an impact on a football field can be north of 90 Gs. It's an incredible impact. It's like a car hitting a wall at 50 miles an hour. It's incredible. And this is what these players go through game after game after game. And it, you know, it's got a long-term cumulative effect.
And we're in the testing phases and the trial of it, but would this just be worn by a quarterback and running backs, or is this going to be worn probably, or would that be your goal to have every player on the field be wearing this?
Yeah, certainly when we, you know, watch the game, we think of those hellacious hits, the highlight reels, you know, the safety hitting the slot back coming across the middle and things like that. And those make the highlight reel, but the people that take most of the hits are actually the linemen. You know, they're like two Mack trucks backing up and slamming into each other every single play for 80 to 100 plays a game. And so it's those players that we're most interested in, but we really like to monitor all of them. And so at LSU, we have, you know, kind of a subgroup of all the different positions wearing the product, so we can see it, you know, across all the different sets of play.
Who goes about, or how is it, the device, is it, does it have to be calibrated each day or before each use, and who does that, or how is that, when you have high, you know, technology like this, there's always some pregame stuff you have to do to make sure it's working. Who's responsible for that, or what's your kind of thoughts on that?
Yeah. And so, you know, we wanted to make this as simple as possible. And, you know, for me, there were two things that we had to do right. Number one, we had to be the most accurate. And I think we've solved that. And I can get into the why if you'd like. The other side of it is the use case. It needed to be simple. It needed to not disrupt the game. We needed it to be a regular part of what they do. And so a mouth guard makes sense. Players already wear mouth guards. The product comes out of the factory with the sensors calibrated. The team, once they receive the product, all they need to do is boil and bite it. It's a different material than you're used to with a regular mouth guard that's more durable and gives a better fit, but its formation is very similar to what we're all used to. You boil, you bite it, you put it in the player's mouth, you assign it to them in the system, and you're done. Then anytime when they're ready to go out on the field, they literally take it out of the individual charging case, slap it in their mouth, and play. It automatically turns on, reads them across the system, and there's no buttons or anything for anyone to play. So we tried to really, really dumb it down and make it simple so that, again, it wasn't disruptive.
Anytime you talk about a device like this, there's always costs that you have to mention. And, you know, what the NFL can afford or, you know, big time college football teams can afford a lot of times isn't what a high school in an urban area or an inner city middle school or even a peewee league team in a rural part of the country can afford for their players. You want to address that at all?
Sure. So it's certainly something that's important to us. And when we looked at what was being done currently, you know, there's a helmet sensor system that had been used for a while and some research, and it's north of $1,000 per player. And that's just not a scalable model. And, you know, to your point, many teams couldn't afford that. So we wanted it to be on par with other safety equipment, drive the cost as low as possible. So the price of a mouth guard is $199 per athlete. Unlike your typical mouth guard, it's much more durable. It will last a full year. So if they're a multi-sport athlete, they could use it across different sports. And that's it. So it's pretty simple. It falls in line with, you know, think of it this way. A pair of cleats is $130. You're buying one or two pairs every year. Mouth guard now, same kind of thing. So we wanted into that same ballpark of safety equipment. And over time, our goal would be to drive that cost lower. But that's where we're at with it now.
Yeah, like anything, the cost could go down, or if competition enters the space, that's healthy for everyone as well. So let's just take a quick break here. Netcast Studio relies on Amazon. Our listeners love shopping Amazon. So it's the holiday time. It's you're buying gifts. And you're doing probably a lot of shopping on Amazon. I know Black Friday is and Cyber Monday in our rearview mirror, but you're going to do a lot of shopping. And there's always a lot of people I know are last minute shoppers. So you can use the affiliate link here at the studio, netcaststudio.com/Amazon, for any and all of your shopping needs. And Amazon really has everything now. It's not just books and music. Amazon carries everything. There's no extra cost to you. And like I said, it helps support Netcast Studio and the variety of programming and shows that it brings you. So a lot of hard work done by the hosts and the people behind Netcast Studio, and you get to enjoy the shows. So again, the affiliate link, use this and then do your shopping, netcaststudio.com/Amazon. So appreciate that, and appreciate Jesse Harper for hanging on. And we're with Jesse Harper here. He's the CEO of iOne Biometrics, and we're talking about a mouth guard that will help determine whether possibly a player sustained a concussion or a hard hit, and a closer look can be taken possibly at that player. And it may, you know, you hate to say it, but this device could ultimately someday, you know, save a life or some version of this device. So, Jesse, thanks again for coming on, and give the listeners, we'll give you a chance here to the website for the company, and if somebody has questions for you or members of your team, how can they get a hold of you guys? And are you guys also all over social media as well?
We are. We're all over social media. The website is, you know, www.i1biometrics.com. So the letter I, the number one, biometrics.com. The product name is the Vector Mouth Guard. You can certainly see us. I'm very active on Twitter, talking about, you know, technology in general, wearable technology, which this is a component of, and also concussion in sport. I'm at the Jesse Harper, or you can follow our company, iOne Biometrics. So certainly reach out with any questions. This is an area of great interest to us. We're sports lovers and tech lovers, and so it's kind of the perfect world for us where we get to mash the two of them together.
Yeah, it's also a topic of great concern to a lot of people as well. And I've talked with coaches and players about this. Have you guys spoken specifically with coaches and, you know, players at the highest level of football to get their opinions on it? I know you said you're trying it at LSU, but just before you started doing this, did you pick brains of people is this more the medical side of things? That's who you guys kind of were working in tandem with.
You know, you want to be able to get information out that's meaningful to the medical side of things, but you need to do it in a way that you got to remember you're working with coaches and athletes who don't regularly touch the medical side of the sport. So we needed to really query both sides. And we spent 2 years going out to the market and finding out from them, you know, what do you like? You know, what are the challenges that you have? How do you coach practice? How do you run the sidelines? Again, so it could be a simple piece to use. So it's not something they don't use currently. They all use mouth guards. It's just a different mouth guard, and there's no heavy load on that. So we wanted to find out not only what type of information would be helpful for them, but how they could consume that information. And also for coaches, you know, what value does it have for a coach? It's clear the value it has for medical personnel. But what value does a coach see in it? And that's really where we came up with this, you know, coachable moment side and looking at the impact history and patterns of a player. And especially the coaches at LSU, they really jumped on that. They got excited about it. They'd pull players out after practice. They'd, you know, go through game film with them. They'd go through the impact data with them and show them how they could tackle properly and how they were tackling improperly. And that's at the college level. Imagine if we could start that proper behavior at the youth level, and then they could grow up knowing the right way to do it. That's really where we want to make an impact.
Right, and that's where it really all has to start. So you're saying the coaches have been that you've spoken with or that you've gotten feedback from are on board with this idea, because this really adds another layer in for the coaches, something else to worry about. And if you know coaches like I do, and maybe it's changed now a little bit with the new era of coaches, but old-time football coaches, you know, they barely knew how to run the projector that they were showing the game film on. They were not into technology at all. You know, they wanted to coach football and get guys fired up to get on the field and yell and scream. That was what they felt was their job. Draw up a play here and there that might work in a certain situation. Coaches now have to be aware of a lot of things, and this adds something else into the mix for them.
It does. And that's the challenge I put in front of my engineering team. I said, you're dealing with a group that the height of technology is a leather ball and a whistle. And you need to make this simple.
Don't forget about those Rydell coaches shorts.
It's true. So the challenge that I put forth, as I said, it cannot be harder to operate than your cell phone. And so that's the way we went through it. And, you know, it's got many of the same components as a smartphone: accelerometers, gyroscopes, microprocessors, all the things that are in your, you know, your iPhone or your Android are in this, and the same kind of, you know, use case and how SM would operate it. So it's pretty simple.
Yeah. Let's give all due respect to coaches in all sports, though. They've had to become more tech savvy in the last decade. I mean, it's been forced on them. They've had no choice, or they were going to lose their job or get left behind. So I think they, even though they're, you know, maybe a little slower to it than some people, but I think coaches have embraced what, you know, what technology can do for them. And, you know, maybe it eases their workload a little bit when it comes to all the other things they have to do. And also on the field, you know, in the NFL, the coach can communicate with the quarterback, and, you know, they're using tablets on the sidelines now. So it's, you know, let's give coaches some credit. I think they've been more open to new technology than we give them credit for.
I completely agree. It might have been a slow start, but, you know, they've ramped it up quickly. The Microsoft Surface tablets are on the sideline at every NFL game. They're charting out practice. They're charting out plays. They're reviewing them there. You have players that wear heart rate monitor devices to look at heart rate variability in their, you know, trying to opportunize and maximize their readiness to play on game day. You have now, you know, the NFL is experimenting with RFID chips in the shoulder pads of players to measure where on the field they are to get better statistics. So technology is coming, and the coaches are embracing it. It's just been a field that traditionally has not been technology laden. But now you're seeing a lot more of it coming into play, and a lot of it's from this performance angle. How do we win more games? How do our players get bigger, faster, stronger, and safer? And that's where we plug in.
I've covered the NFL combines, and they use that as really a testing and breeding ground for new technology. And they really measure everything on those players that are up there, from their sleep to how many steps they're taking to, you know, calories burned, like you said, their heart rate. So I give the NFL recognizes there's a problem, and in all levels of football have, but the NFL is the 800-pound gorilla, and pretty much whatever they do, other people will take notice. So and big colleges as well. They're almost like professional sports. So It has changed. I'm glad you guys have made it simple, though, for them, because, you know, anything too difficult is a little hard for them. But also coaching staffs, they always have one or two now younger guys on the staff that are pretty tech intensive and tech savvy. And a lot of times those are some of the most valuable guys on the coaching staff, because they're a little more in tune with the technology. Have you guys found that out, too?
You are, yeah. You're seeing more and more teams are hiring these positions. Some of them call them performance analysts. They're usually members of the strength and conditioning team or something along those lines. And it's exactly what they do. You know, their job is to integrate new technology into kind of the tried and true, you know, practice schedule and game schedule that coaches have. And we're getting there. You know, it's moving in the right direction. The challenge with technology, and in particular wearable technology, is if it's a burden, no one's going to do it. It needs to make your life easier, and it needs to be reasonably invisible to the user. And that's always the hardest thing. You're seeing, you know, Fitbit and other companies struggle and slowly getting their arms around that. And that's been our challenge too. You know, how do you make this a regular part of the game and have all the benefits with none of the overhead of having to manage it? You don't want to make their job harder.
That's the real trick. And we're wrapping up here with Jesse from iOne Biometric. And Jesse, another aspect of somebody you have to get the message through to is the media. And the media loves, I think the media loves reporting one angle of the concussion issue. And it's a typical media. They like reporting, you know, the salacious story or piling on when the situation is bad. But I mean, you guys reached out to me nicely with some good information. And I mean, I know that, you know, I do this every day, covered sports technology, but for the more the lay media, even sports media that doesn't understand all this, how do you get their attention and get the message across to them?
Yeah, there's not enough people like you out there, Rick, that, you know, really understand this.
Most people would say that's a good thing.
Well, you know, you understand this convergence of sport and technology and how to, you know, move it forward. And that's a helpful thing. And, you know, as you said, much of the media looks at these stories, such as the story that came out of Ohio State this week, and they really hammer on this negative side of the sport. And we forget that, you know, youth athletics and the performing arts, so both sport and arts, have a wonderful place in, you know, in the raising of our children in America, and, you know, how we can, you know, impart a lot of different values that we find to be important. And so, a big fan of sport. I look at things like the story out of Ohio State. I look at stories like the, you know, the Shane Moore story out of Michigan. And I say, rather than focusing on the negative, how can we educate people that sports aren't all bad? This is an ugly side of it, yes, but they're also good. What can we do as parents, as players, as coaches, as community to keep our players safe? And it's about educating them, not just on, you know, my technology, but on other things out there, such as, you know, the USA Heads Up program or new coaching techniques and things. So, you know, that's a personal mission for me. You know, how do we educate people that sports aren't all doom and gloom and bad? There's a ton of value to them. And so, you know, I'll continue leading that charge, and hopefully people want to listen.
Sports is, as you said it, Jesse, sports really is about learning and education, and athletes, they learn every day on the field of play or on the court. And, you know, you guys are all about helping them. So I think that's a great thing. And Jesse, if you wanted anyone to get some lasting and closing comments from you kind of, on your product and maybe kind of where it's going down now that LSU's been testing it this year, what do you guys do now starting in 2015?
You'll keep your eyes open. We're coming to an athlete near you. This spring, we'll be launching in time for spring football. And so not just LSU, but we've got a number of top-tier college programs that have already signed on with us. We're now working with high school and youth programs to do the same. And so we'll be working really hard to get this technology out in the community and starting to, improve the lives of these players and hopefully in time, decrease the occurrence of concussion. So we'll be out there. You know, learn more of us from our website, iOneBiometrics.com, or reach out over Twitter, and we'd love to talk to you.
Is the product that LSU has been doing just on the side, have they been using, Jesse, is that kind of the final product of what you guys are going to debut?
It is. So when we launched with them in preseason, and they've worn it in, you know, all through preseason, every practice, and then all of their games, we learned a lot. 300-pound lineman slamming on your smartphone in your mouth every day is tough. So there were some things we needed to do to ruggedize the product and make it better, and we've gotten to a really good spot with it. And so now they've got final product in their mouth, and that's what we're going to market with. But it's been a great learning for us.
Yeah, absolutely, and that, I think that's great information. Jesse, I ask my listeners one last question as we wrap up on every show. What's the one gadget or device that you can't live without right now?
The one gadget or device I can't live without. You know, maybe I'm a homer for it because I worked for Polar for so long, but I've got my new Polar Loop, which is a wearable technology piece that measures my steps and my activity, and it reminds me when I'm sitting on my butt for too long in my office that I need to get up and move. So that's the one for me. It's like my wife nagging in my ear, but it's on my wrist. So that's the one I wear.
And there's a bunch of good wearable products out now. They've come They've come a long way in the last year. I have six different ones sitting here on the desk here. I've been testing right in front of me, including one that's a great watch, and it measures your swing speed on the golf course, and it's got the distance to every hole, no matter where you are in the country on every course. It's mind blowing what they're putting in these little watches and fitness bands now.
Yeah, it's fun. Just, we've gotten to the point now where the smartphone in our pocket is the master to all of these different devices that slave to it. I think it's really exciting to see where it goes. I'm excited for kind of the ubiquitous nature of the technology as it gets out there and how it makes our lives easier and more interesting. So I'm excited about that.
Great guest, Jesse. Great information. I really, really appreciate you having you on the show. I could talk with you all day. We got a lot in common, and I really respect what you guys are doing and how you're going about it.
Well, thank you very much. It's really been a pleasure being on here.
Yeah, Jesse Harper, i1biometrics.com. They're all over social media, and we'll put all the links in the show notes when the show comes out, Jesse. So appreciate that. And just hold on for 1 second as I wrap up. Netcast Studio has many other shows which may be of interest to you, and you can go over to netcaststudio.com. Real simple to remember, netcaststudio.com. Check out all the shows that are available, including Waves of Tech, the flagship show here at the studio, where new technologies discussed each and every week. So netcaststudio.com and Two Thumbs Up Media, the podcast directory set up by the people here at Netcast Studio, twothumbsupmedia.com. This has been the Tech of Sports for this week. You've been listening to a Netcast Studio production, and we'll see you next week. Thanks.